Sure seems like it's moving too fast. We better try to catch up. Open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. You know what the word Deuteronomy means? It's talking about the second time or two involved when we have a duet. I guess that means we got two of them up there singing, so we understand kind of the meaning of the word. Deuteronomy, kind of the second giving of the law. And, of course, some more detail. I want you to go to chapter, let's see what I want you to do. 18, I believe, is what I want. That ain't it. We'll find another one. Go to Deuteronomy with me, chapter 18, and we'll take a look at it here. Chapter 18, I want to pick it up in about, I'm going to start in about verse 9, and I don't know if I'll go through the rest of the chapter. I really need to on my subject, but I want to talk to you some. This is a question that keeps getting asked. Somebody said you covered that before. Yeah, and it gets asked again. You know what that means? It means somebody is missing when I'm covering it. You want to raise your hand? Tell me who it is. Anyway, the question is, how about talking to the dead? And we got it here very plainly spelled out for us in Deuteronomy chapter 18, what God has to say about it. By the way, that ought to be the final word. Amen. What God has to say about it is what counts. It's not experience. It's not emotion. It's, in fact, experience and emotion is often the devil's playhouse. And the con man's trap that he sets for people that get into this sort of thing. Now, I understand the emotion part. People have loved ones pass on and just can't let go. And a lot of that is because they don't understand the scripture. They don't have the victory of salvation and the future of seeing loved ones again. And so Paul refers to a group of people like that when he says, we sorrow not as others that have no hope. There's a big difference. Any preacher can tell you the saddest, hardest funerals we ever preach is for those that don't have any hope on the other side. And the family that don't have any hope of seeing a loved one again, that is tough. But we can warn about it ahead of time all we want to. It still happens. Still happens over and over again. Well, let's pick it up here in Deuteronomy and see what God has to say about it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. Now, the heathen nations that did not know the Lord was into this stuff, of the devil, of course. So he tells his people, you don't learn the abominations of those nations. Verse 10, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his daughter, his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that seeketh or useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now, necromancer here is our subject, basically, of people trying to talk to the dead. Now, let me say this. All these words you read right here, and we'll read some more. Listen, God never tells you to not do something, but what it would be possible to do it. And everything he names here is possible on the evil side of things, including thinking you're talking to the dead. I'll get to that a little bit better in a minute. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. God brings the Jews out of Egypt and uses them as a rod of judgment on many heathen nations around as he uses Israel on them to destroy them. And in many cases, that'll answer a lot of hard questions about it. When Abraham was talking with the Lord, told him that his people would go into Egypt for 400 years and that he wouldn't bring them out But when he did, he'd bring them out when the cup of the Amorites was finally full, the cup of judgment. God was waiting to use Israel to bring them out of Egypt and judge a nation of Amorites whose cup of iniquity had not yet filled up. We think in America today, and we hope that the Lord Jesus comes before the cup fills up. It's mighty close to the brim, I think, right now. Reading on with me. Verse 13, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Now, no man is perfect. We understand that. But he's talking about living right, obeying the Lord. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times. Got to watch this still today. And diviners. As for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. Now, like unto me, Moses is writing this. So Moses is talking about a prophet. God's going to raise up. That prophet, of course, is going to be the Lord Jesus, as you read the New Testament. According to all that thou desirest to the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see his great fire anymore. This was what was taking place at Mount Sinai when Moses received the law. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet among them, among their brethren, like unto thee, like unto Moses, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them that I shall command him. I'm going to quit there just to say this. Here is a big portion of Scripture, very clearly, and there's other places in the Bible, of course, that condemns this practice that we see Hollywood and TV and all that glamorizing today, when it comes to trying to con loved ones in. And by the way, money, of course, is involved. The love of money is the root of all evil, Scripture tells us. And so we need to understand this subject. Now, they had a TV program. It may be off now. I don't know. They had a TV program called Crossings. And there was some guy claimed that he could conjure up your loved ones, and they'd do it on TV. And the loved one would tell them things that would make the dead that had gone on would seem to tell them things that would make them recognize, yes, that's my brother, yes, that's my dad, and so forth, or he wouldn't know this. And so that fools a lot of people. And we have to be aware of it. It's a subject much in the news. Even in the White House through the years at different times, and in many cases, the president's wives have been involved in this very same thing. Fortune telling was strong in America in early years, still is in many places, but now with all the electronic technology and everything else, there's even advancement of some of the trickery type stuff. And the New Age movement came, so-called, came on, and all of that. Now, we that believe the Bible, we take it with a grain of salt. We joke about it. I heard where there was a guru that Al Gore went to. You know, it was fashionable in Hollywood and politics to have your own private guru, however you say it, gorilla or whatever. Anyway, he had one, and there was a joke going around that that guru had put Al Gore into a trance, and we wish he'd wake him up. But stuff like that. But this news that we hear today on Talking to the Dead is old news, condemned by the Lord. It's not new age, it's old age. And it's a doctrine that God hates, and it's of the devil. Sad part is it is being accepted in cartoons and talk shows and sort of thing, and being accepted and sanitized, so to speak, to act like that it's normal, that it's not evil. It is evil. It is a sin. Anything when God commands as clear as he does to not do it, and you do it, it's sin. The Bible says sin is the transgression of God's law. What is God's law? It's whatever he said. And you and I have the Bible, his word. Now, We need to know what God has to say about it. It's the old age lie, really, of Eden. Eve got trapped because she got in a dialogue with the devil and thought he was going to tell her something she didn't know. He was going to bring her into something that God was keeping from her. You read the context there, and that's really what was going on. And still a lot of folks feel that way today. I remember one time we had a high schooler in the office over some discipline problem, and they blurted this out, which they'd gotten off of TV and off the net and all that junk the devil uses today. They blurted out, you're just trying to keep something good from us. All these rules and all these standards, you know, and basically what, it was a girl, by the way, sort of like Eve in the garden, same old answer, you're withholding something good from me. And these rules are to keep us from having any fun, and the devil is not the bad guy, God is. He's withholding all this from us. I could hardly believe my ears to hear that junk, but I realized it was being played back as that little brain had been programmed with it to come up with that sort of stuff. Now, what it is named is here in the scripture. Now, if you were to look in the Webster 1828 dictionary, you'd find that he would give you this quote right here to what a necromancer or talking to the dead is. Here in verse 11, are a charmer, are a consulter, and watch this, with familiar spirits. Little thing here, familiar spirits. Are a wizard, and you know, they make shows, the Good Wizard and the Wizard of Oz and all this kind of stuff. It's amazing how the devil puts sugar in the poison and mixes it in, and people accept all that sort of stuff. You know, when it comes to witches, what was her name that could twist her nose on TV and jerk her husband in line? I forget, but it was a popular show a long time ago. And the only character I enjoyed when I watched the show was her mother. She did look like a witch. anyway, but get people to accept it. And it did. It worked that way. What was her husband's name now? All right. It was one of those shows that began to work against men way back then. It was sort of the Dagwood thing with Blondie has got him by the ear and dragging him around. That sort of thing. I won't get off into that, ladies. Aren't you glad? But anyway, this thing of trying to talk to the dead. Now, it's attractive because it, again, tries to play on getting back in touch with a loved one. Some message I want to give them. I want to know how they're doing, all that kind of stuff. And by the way, there's the promise of power that the devil gives. Hitler was into this thing really big. He really was tapping in. He thought in his Aryan race and his dream and all that. He sent people into Tibet and other places trying to find. And he had his little private army around him. Other than the big army, he had the ones that dressed in the black shirts. Remember, and it was all black magic. It was always into this side of things, and he thought that was going to help him win the war. And by the way, it just wasn't God's will for him to take over. God's the one, of course, defeat him. But playing on the grief of loved ones, and that is the worst kind of stealing. That's worse than stealing their money. When you do that to their feelings, that kind of fakery. How it's fake, a lot of times it's cheap tricks. But do understand this. Everything you can't understand, everything that seems to be supernatural, probably is many times, but there is a underworld to the other world. Just like we talk about in crime, we'll talk about the dark side, or we'll talk about the underworld. Everything supernatural is not of God. You see that in the Bible. You see that in experience. And this is where people get wrong. Well, no other way to explain it except this was supernatural. Okay, but which God on the other side? Got to remember something. Satan is the god of this world. He's the prince and power of the air, the scripture says. And we got to understand he has tremendous, tremendous power. This is where young people get so messed up today, is the devil will show them something once in a while that's unexplainable, and entices them into it. And it is faked often, but the text here says familiar spirit. Familiar, we understand the word. This cough is familiar. You understand the word. God warned you about listening to familiar spirits. Leviticus 20 and other places, it'll warn you about this. How does it work that somebody could go, so let's say a fortune teller, and the fortune teller is able to tell them something about Uncle Joe or daddy or mother or son or daughter that's passed on? How can they do that? All right, there's several ways that it works. Number one, cheap tricks are involved often. And you make an appointment. That gives them time to research you. And today, research is a lot easier than it's ever been before on people. And so research by making an appointment. Even if it is a genuine witch or servant of the devil, they're demons. Their familiar spirits need time to research you also. The word familiar there with the spirit means he's familiar with some things. Oftentimes, the questions that are asked when a fortune teller is probing someone, the mind of the person begins to think these things, and the familiar spirit reads the mind, gives it to the fortune teller. That is real. That is not of God. That is of the devil. And yes, I've known a few cases where fortune tellers said things that were very scary. If you know which side they're coming from, you ought to expect it. You ought not be all that that shocked by it. And yet people seem to think, well, that's okay. Shirley MacLaine went on TV with this sort of stuff. And people getting into trances and all of that business. She made a movie out of it. I don't know if she's dead now or not. If she is, she's got the truth on the other side. And it probably hurts a lot more than she thought. But she deceived a whole pile of people in with these personal spirits, familiar spirits, transcendental meditation and stuff like that. But all of that business is involved in this. Now, the familiar spirit gives you away by what the Bible calls him. Calls him by name, familiar spirit. And that tells you he's going to be familiar with whatever it is that you want to know. It is a very real thing. And some, as you've seen in storybooks and other places, some spirits are conjured up by evil-thinking people that turn away from God. And there's a trade-off of power involved. We've all read stories about somebody selling their soul to the devil. And that's the foundational basis behind some of this. And it is a very real thing. Evil spirits often team up with a witch. And a witch is real because the Bible wouldn't have it if it were not. Therefore, witchcraft. Now, we think of a witch as an old haggy thing standing over a black pot boiling something up. Well, that might be a fair image of it, but today, if you go up around Salem, Massachusetts, I guess it is, they have a whole big crowd of them up there recognized by the government and in the city government and all that. And of course, they try to sell the idea we're good witches. And we dress pretty and all that business. Folks, you still better leave that stuff alone. I know some soul winners that several years back went up there when they were having a witch's coven and a witch's meeting in the town. And the soul winners got out with a bunch of gospel tracts and began to pass them out and try to witness on the street. And the witches had power enough to get the police department to come even arrest some of them. So they had pretty much had the town by the throat, that sort of thing. I tell you what they can't prevent, though, in a case like that. You get a bunch of Christians together and hold a genuine prayer meeting against them, and you'll take care of their power in a hurry. And I know a few cases like that. We had a missionary here in our church. He's dead now. He was a missionary down to Haiti. Many of you remember Brother George Swinder. Brother Swinder was down there and had to deal with the witch doctors and all the voodoo, and it's heavy, of course, in Haiti and other places too. But he had personal experiences with it, and down there, for a little bit of money or a little bit of money, you can get a witch doctor to put a curse on somebody. And literally, the people believe in it, and that's one of the reasons it works on them. Once they know that they've had a curse put on them, that psychologically works on them. However, Brother Swinder told some real stories. If I told you half what he told me, you wouldn't believe it, so no need me telling it. But some bad, bad stuff that went on. And Brother Swinder was a pretty smart man. He knew his Bible good. He could speak two or three languages and all that. And he'd been on the worst side, on the devil's side, before he got saved. So he knew both sides of the thing. But he told me this, and I probably told you before, but he told me that in several cases he knew of where a witch doctor was hired to put a curse on somebody. He saw it, and it worked in the sense of ruining their lives and scaring them to death and costing them their health and even their lives. But he said he knew of a case where a witch doctor had been hired to put a curse on a man, and the man didn't seem to be affected by it at all. So the fellow that hired him went back to him and said, "I don't see any difference. Guy's getting along good as ever." He said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, you should have told me he was saved. He was a Christian. My curse don't work on them." That's good news, isn't it? Of course, that's what we know from the Bible anyway. But he said it wouldn't work. He said, one time I was having a meeting. We were having a preacher's meeting, and said when a witch doctor would come in a meeting, now he'd come in with his feathers and his necklace of teeth and bones and charms and all that he'd come in dressed in that way. Said when he came into one of our church services, it just ruined it. Said people would start making an excuse to leave, They were afraid of him. I had that happen to me one time with a demon-possessed boy that in the country, that's another story. He was called a firebug, setting everybody's house on fire. But when he'd come in my little country church, folks would start finding a reason to get up and leave. They were scared to be around him. And that's what happened with the witch doctor, with Brother Swinder. And he said, service was going good, and this witch doctor came in, sat down on the back row, started to rattling his bones and letting everybody know he was there, and said people started getting up and leaving. He said, my evangelist was preaching. He said, I just got up and told the evangelist the service is over. Said he just ruined it. Said people are leaving. He said, the evangelist said, no, let's don't call the service off. And he said to the people, I'm going to go back and talk to that man. Y'all stay. So the evangelist walked out of the pulpit, walked back there, sat down in the pew in front of the guy, and turned around where he could face him. Witch doctor's rattling his stuff and a mumbling. And Brother Swinder said, the evangelist looked at him and said, I want you to tell me something. How does it feel to be on the losing side? He said, the guy kind of stopped and looked at him. And the evangelist said, you know what I'm talking about. Said, you lose. Said, the devil's going to be cast in the lake of fire. And he said, in a little bit of talk, he run that witch doctor off. Well, they do know they're on the losing side. So how you know? Read in the Bible where Jesus cast out the demons, the devils. And they said, have you come here to torment us before our time? They know the time's coming. They know who wins and who loses. And we sometimes, as God's people, act like losers when we're winners. And we let the devil spook us when we shouldn't be spooked by him. We got a greater power to appeal to, and that's God. And here with this talking to the dead thing, it's a con. Many times it's a cheap trick, but many times a familiar spirit is involved. And you got to watch out. They may pretend to be a loved one. I like the little story I tell about the little boy that went with mom and dad to the fortune teller. And mom and dad was asking the fortune teller about Uncle Joe or Uncle Bill or somebody. And the little boy kept saying something like this. I want to hear from Grandma. I want to hear from Grandma. And they're trying to call up Grandma. Finally, the mother couldn't quiet him down. The fortune teller said, "Oh, here's Grandma." And the little boy said, "Oh, Grandma, I didn't know you were dead yet." Little boy conned the fortune teller right out of it. So there's a lot of fakery that goes on like that. But there's some of it real. And the best thing for you and I to do what the Bible told us to do. Stay away from it. Don't mess with it. And if God puts you in a situation where you have to claim the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and face something like that, fine. But don't volunteer and go put your own self into it. Don't become Dick Tracy to go out and track one down or something like that. That's not going to work. That'd be presumptuous on your part. But it is fake. But it's clearly forbidden. And the penalty was death. That's a pretty big thing. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Wouldn't that really make the liberals blow their stack today? I mean, put that in the news. And nowadays, they're punishing you for what they think you think. You've noticed that, haven't you? The thought police are running wild in America right now. And it was clearly forbidden. It had the penalty of death. Exodus 22 says, suffer not a witch to live. There's no good and bad witches. That bewitched program on TV, that was just a joke to entice people, just a comedy to laugh at. You know why we started accepting so much sin piped into our living room? Because they made it funny. And Christians sat there and chuckled at what God condemns as awful sin. That's the con that the devil pulled. And it includes all the props and enchantments and all that. I won't turn to it for sake of time, but Leviticus 19 gives you some of those marks. And look out, young people, for medallions, good luck charms, various things that opens the door. And some of you adults, you better not mess around too much with your horoscope. You're opening some doors there you shouldn't open to the other side. Young people, watch out for Ouija boards. you say, well, it's the nerves and the... No, it just might be something a little more than that. And you better leave it alone. It's just safe ground to leave it alone. Rock musicians cutting their rock records and putting on their jacket on the covers some awful bad stuff. Years ago, and I know I'm not up to date even knowing who's what anymore, don't want to know. But I do remember a bunch of them dressed up and painted themselves up, and they were called Kiss something in Satan service or something. And Little Richard was one of the, you know, those rock groups. And Little Richard gave a testimony on the Billy Graham program, one of Billy Graham's big evangelistic crusades. He gave a testimony. Billy had him up there to give a testimony. Little Richard got up there and said this. He used to be in that group. He got saved. And he said, I've been in the places where they had the pentagram on the floor and they cut a new record and we all got around and prayed for Satan's blessing to make the record be a bestseller. And then here's what he said to the crowd, big Billy Graham crusade. Here's what he said. He said, and it worked because you Christian people went out and bought the records. What a truth. Pretty strong truth. God's people participating where they didn't supposed to be. In junk they shouldn't have been messing with. And what's happened to our country today is really hurting because of Christian people claiming to be Christian people, church members that profess Christ, dabbling and financing and helping pack out a crowd for the wrong side, for the evil side. And this thing of necromancy, trying to talk to the dead, is forbidden in the Bible. Satan can work some things up like that, and he has his familiar spirits. And you'll read the story. You can read the story about Ahab being enticed to go to war, where God intended for him to be killed for his murder of Naboth and stealing his vineyard. And you read over there where Micaiah came in and told him, said, I saw all these spirits being called together, and God asked who would go down and deceive Ahab. They are in the deceiving business, and it's really bad. There's a danger to lost souls. You and I need to teach the way of salvation. In Luke 16, we find out the dead cannot return. The rich man would have loved to return, but he couldn't. And he wanted somebody to return from the dead to give his five brethren a warning. You remember the story. And he couldn't do it. There was a great gulf fixed. God has fixed. I'll probably say something along this line, maybe this morning's sermon. God has seemingly fixed a veil, a fence, a boundary, if you please, that we're not supposed to be trying to cross. And we're not supposed to be trying to open the door from our side to let them cross in that are on the wrong side. And that's what you're dealing with in this stuff that God forbids right here. And yet a lot of folks today, they want to know something they're not supposed to know. They want to go into forbidden territory that God says no. That's dangerous over there. And we have to be wise about that, folks. God does not condemn a thing in the Bible unless it's dangerous for us. We got a wrong idea that Eve had in the garden. God's withholding something good from us. He never takes anything from you but what he gives you something better. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust him with that. I had somebody, I was out here shaking hands one Sunday morning before church started, and a family gave me a Bible, I'm sorry, gave me a book, not a Bible, and they said, we'd like for you to look at this. I glanced at it quickly, and I said, that's something you ought not have. Well, we thought so. We'll just give it to you. That's sort of like the girl that said, my short dress is sending me to hell. I'll give it to my sister. You didn't get that, did you? I took the book back to the office, and I just immediately saw it was a devil's book, conjuring up spirits and all that. And I destroyed it. I didn't read it. I didn't look at it. I destroyed it. You say, don't you think you were strong enough to look at it? Maybe. But I was told not to. So I destroyed it. That's still safe ground. That's safe ground. Amen. All right, time's up. We appreciate you being with us. We'll have 7 or 8 minutes here. A little break before the preaching service, 6:55 in Sunday school. And the buses were way down.